Hello, podcast enthusiasts. It's Jim Jaquetta, co-founder and CTO of Vidovation. Thanks for tuning in. I've got an exclusive treat for you, my wireless experts checklist. Please text the word podcast to 949-755-8881 to grab it and open the door to some engaging conversations. Again, text the word podcast to 949-755-8881. I look forward to chatting with you and sharing valuable production and broadcast insights. Don't forget to hit subscribe or follow to catch all future episodes. Your feedback is gold. Please leave a review and shape the future of this podcast. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. Hello, I'm Jim Jaquetta, CTO and co-founder of Vidovation. I recently gave a speech and presented a paper at the NAB BEIT conference. I spoke about the rise of private 5G, a challenger to Wi-Fi and the public 5G for mobile transcoders and... Hello, I'm Jim Jaquetta, CTO and co-founder of Vidovation. I recently had the pleasure of presenting a paper and speaking at the NAB BEIT conference. My paper was well received, and I spoke about the rise of private 5G, a challenger to Wi-Fi and public 5G for mobile transmitters and encoders. So let me discuss, let's dive in. So just an introduction. So overview of Wi-Fi and public 5G usage. So we all are very familiar with Wi-Fi and public 5G, or another name for it is a mobile network operator, or MNO, you know, your Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Some of the challenges we face in large venues, indoors and outdoors, like stadiums, football fields, soccer fields, baseball stadiums, fairgrounds, large warehouses, factories, piers, docks, etc. You know, Wi-Fi is great because it's unlicensed, but we're susceptible to interference from other operators or other access points. Public 5G works pretty well. We have Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. We bond all those carriers together to get good throughput. But there are those cases where the public 5G is not enough and we need something different. So here comes private 5G. Private 5G is we're setting up our own cellular network that no one else can operate on. It belongs just to us. We're given a slice of spectrum, and that spectrum belongs to us for our uses. So what is private 5G, or what is a private 5G network? So basically, it operates on what is known as Band 48, or the Citizens Broadband Radio Service, CBRS for short, because we need more acronyms in our industry, three-letter, four-letter. So Citizens Broadband Radio Service, CBRS. So what does it give us? Well, it gives us a more reliable spectrum. So it's kind of like license implies there's a fee. So there's no fees to use CBRS or private 5G. Unlicensed indicates little or no regulation. It's a free-for-all, wild west. So you're in a public area, a densely populated area, access points from adjacent buildings, adjacent businesses, fans in a stadium, the Wi-Fi and the fan next to you were all interfering with each other. So the shared spectrum, it's called shared spectrum, and it's managed by the FCC. So you're only given a slice if your hardware meets approval and if there's a slice available. If there is no slice available, you cannot get a slice and interfere with someone else. So there's three different tiers. The first tier is the U.S. Navy or the incumbents. Some fixed satellite services use the band. That's being phased out. Tier number two is your MNOs, your priority access licensees. In this case, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, or another telecom entity is actually paid for a slice permanently. So we don't have access to that. So us folks in the broadcast television media or enterprise space, we would be in the third tier. And in most circumstances, most applications, there's plenty of slices to go around. Private 5G has not been proliferated like Wi-Fi. So we'll always have a band, or we should have a band available to us. And it's more secure. It offers no interference. So no one can step on us. No one can interfere with us. And many, many devices now, if a device is 5G enabled, more than likely it supports band 48 or that CBRS brand band. So more devices, most 5G devices have support. So what does the integration look like? What is the private 5G? You know, people start to think, is this expensive? Is it complicated? It's really very, very simple, or at least from Vidovation's perspective, with the partners we use, such as Celona, it's very, very simple. So here on the left, we have our devices. So they have to be 5G enabled. Some 4G devices also support band 48. So it's 4G, 5G. And you can buy iPads, Microsoft Surface, tablets, cell phones, radios, routers, point of sale cash registers, you name it. A device can be purchased with a 5G modem in it, or we can provide a little dongle to make it 5G enabled or private 5G enabled. Then there is a SIM that is tied to an access point. So the SIM protects us, gives us an added level of security. You can only connect to the private 5G network if you have the proper SIM. We also support eSIM, so you don't have to have a physical SIM. And you can see here, there's 4G LTE, there's 5G, there's indoor, there's outdoor access points, and they look almost identical to a Wi-Fi access point. They can coexist on the same infrastructure as your Wi-Fi. We recommend you put the private 5G access points on their own VLAN, and then there's an edge server which connects to the access points. It manages, it enables them. You know, in other words, are we legal to operate in private 5G where we are? It also does firmware updates, etc. And the edge server also then connects to the cloud, the orchestrator, as we call it. And the orchestrator is what goes out to the Spectrum Access Server, as we call it, or SAS, another acronym. Spectrum Access Server to see if there is a slice of spectrum available at our GPS coordinates or at the address that we are located. So the spectrum access server keeps track of who's using what slices of private 5G throughout the United States. And there's similar mechanisms in other countries. So the access point, the edge server, and the cloud orchestrator all play together to help manage the private 5G or CBRS network. Now, who's allowed to roll this technology out? You need to have professional, you need to be a professional certified installer, yet another acronym, PCI, professional certified installer. So when you have your CPI credentials, then you're allowed to, you upload your credentials into Orchestrator, then it knows, okay, Jim Jaquetta has taken the test. It's 8 or 16 hours, depending upon your prerequisites of training you have to take. And you have to then you get a digital certificate, which you upload, and then you can access the software, the Spectrum Access Server or SAS server to see if a slice is available for you or one of your clients. So here's another way of looking at it, just a different view. You know, SIMs and the endpoint devices here on the left, access points, indoor, outdoor, 4G, 5G, edge server in the middle, and then orchestrator up in the cloud. The edge server bridges the on-prem with the cloud. So what are the use cases? So, you know, Vidovation is promoting 4G, 5G, private 4G, 5G, CBRS for broadcast, media, sports, news, etc., as a companion to some of the bonded cellular or mobile transmitter encoders that we provide. But it was the technology was rolled out simply for large outdoor spaces like an oil refinery, a shipping yard, a freight, a rail yard, construction sites, a quarry, etc. You can see some of the pictures, warehousing, robots and automation in warehouses or factories, train stations, convention centers, etc. And you can imagine if we have robotics in these different areas, if they lose connection with their controlling computers or their controllers, or they lose Wi-Fi connectivity, that could be pretty serious. Hopefully the robot will just turn off, but robot could run awry, not receive commands, or commands get garbled. So you can see the importance of having a resilient and reliable wireless connections in some of these applications. So again, it's private 4G, it's not going to take over Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is probably going to be here for, you know, decades to come. The public 4G, 5G, you know, the MNO, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, that's not going away anytime soon. The three technologies can work side by side, and we demo this in our booth at NAB. We had a Hi-Vision Pro 460 mobile transmitter encoder, and we were connected to Wi-Fi, public cellular, and private simultaneously and bonded all of that together. So what's the benefit? So in a corporate environment or in its most common use case, you can cut down your Wi-Fi access points by 10 or 20 fold. So in other words, if we had a large convention center and you had a hall that needed 10 or 20 Wi-Fi access points, we could put one private 5G access points and replace all of that. Now, granted, the machinery and telemetry and sensors and cameras you're controlling need to be able to connect to private 5G, but if they're legacy, we can provide adapters, bridges from WAN or IP, you know, traditional Ethernet to public 4G, 5G. And some of these devices come from our partners, such as Peplink and others. There's a big reduction because we need far less access points. There's a CapEx reduction of about 40% when we compare Wi-Fi to a private 5G. And then, as we all know, public 5G or MNO, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, when we're streaming video, there's a fee associated with it. You know, the cellular data is, you know, it averages about $10 a gig. And a 5 megabit per second stream needs about a little over 3 gigabytes of data per hour to stream. So that can add up very quickly. So if we set up a private 5G network, we can connect that to our facility's internet connection to stream out. And that internet connection, you know, has an unlimited pipe or virtually unlimited pipe. It's far less expensive than public or MNO data from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. So you can see the benefits there. So again, this little wheel here kind of summarizes things. So we get interference-free spectrum. I forgot one important thing, low latency. One of the drawbacks of MNO or public 4G, 5G is the latency. A typical connection is anywhere from 40 to 60 milliseconds in a good day, but that can spike up. You know, you see the latency spike up and down in our bonded cellular transmissions. With private 5G, we can get the latency down to single digits, you know, less than 10 milliseconds, you know, 5-6 milliseconds or better. So you can see the benefit there. Then deterministic connectivity. What does that mean? Within our slice of spectrum, we can set micro slices. So in other words, take a ballpark, for example. Maybe there's a slice for the broadcast, you know, for video streaming of the game. But then point of sale, security cameras, life safety, PA systems, fire, rescue, etc., police, security, all these different departments or all these functions can have a different slice. And a slice is kind of analogous to a quality of service. So we can give each person a slice or even like a VLAN. They can get their own VLAN of bandwidth. This way, the broadcast media folks can't hog the whole private 5G pipe because if there's a life safety or a point of sale transaction happening, that would be bad. The fan can't buy their beer at the concession stand because the private 5G network is being overutilized by another service. So we can manage this whole process and orchestrate it. We get stronger security than the traditional wireless. The stream is secure. The SIM also helps with that security capability. And the technology can be permanently installed or it can be moved around. You know, if we're a road crew moving this private 5G capability from you know, New York, LA for sports, we can light it up in different cities, put our GPS coordinates in or our address and find out if there's a slice available to us in different locations. So it's quite flexible in that regard. So I kind of mentioned this. So private 5G versus enterprise Wi-Fi, as I said earlier, both can coexist. Each has its different advantages. Now, a private 5G system would not work in an office with offices, cubicles, carpeting, etc. You know, you're going to need more of a Wi-Fi footprint, a Wi-Fi access in each room or in each area. Private 5G may not be able to go through all the walls in an office environment. So large out, you know, think of large open spaces is where it thrives. Enterprise Wi-Fi is very easy to set up. It's affordable. Private 5G gives us predictable performance, larger coverage areas, and supports critical applications. But, you know, private 5G, you know, if you have a partner like Vidovation setting it up for you, it can be just as easy as Wi-Fi. And the two technologies can work side by side. You could have a Wi-Fi access point right next to a private 5G access point in your facility, and the two are on different bands. They can even share the same network connection. The private, like a Wi-Fi access point, the private 5G access point uses power over Ethernet. So the unit comes with a PoE++ a powerful power injector that goes in the line of, you know, it injects power into the LAN connection. So and then the architecture that we provide, or the orchestration tools in the edge server, make for a simple integration and make for easy management. What I said, I set up our private 5G system at NAB. It literally took me less than 15 minutes to do so. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So how does the 5G work? So, you know, 5G, as we all know, is a fifth generation cellular. It's a common misconception. People confuse 5G with 5 gigahertz. 5 gigahertz is the Wi-Fi band. Now Wi-Fi is going up into the 6 gigahertz range. 5G has nothing to do with 5 gigahertz. Same thing with 4G. It's the fourth generation cellular technology. How does Wi-Fi work compared to the private 5G? So private 5G, we get a 10 to 40 mega. So there's slices in 10 megahertz chunks. The CBRS band on our prior slide showed it's 150 megahertz. Doesn't sound like that much spectrum, but we're given anywhere from 1 to 4 slices. So we'll get 10 to 40 megahertz of a slice. Now, cellular uses complex, you know, COFDM, quadrature modulation, where we can get in that 10, 20, 30, or 40 megahertz slice, we can get 200 or 300 megabits per second upload and download through that spectrum. So we can put quite a bit of throughput into that little slice that we're given. And, if the slices are 10 megahertz each and it's 150 megahertz wide, there's 15 slices to go around. So in a more congested area, you might only be given one slice, or if it's an event, we can even do frequency coordination where a primary vendor comes in, grabs as much of the CBR spectrum as we can, and then we give ABC, CBS, CBS, CNN, Fox News Channel a slice within that spectrum. So there's ways to manage the spectrum so everyone gets a slice. And that was done at King Charles coronation. A primary vendor came in with private 5G CBRS capability, and they gave each participating network a slice. And it worked really, really well. It really, really worked well. So the NFL is using this technology. The NHL has rolled out some private 5G capabilities. So this is not just theoretical or hypothetical. This has been in use for quite a while, and it's sure to grow very soon. So comparing private 5G versus Wi-Fi, better security with SIM authentication. 5G supports higher density. We can provide scheduled access. We can have a larger coverage area with less infrastructure than Wi-Fi, you know, that 10 to 1, 20 to 1 when it comes to access points. Private 5G provides smoother handoff and better reliability for mobile devices. Now, that's very important when we're streaming. So we've done applications where we'll have a long race, and we may need several private 5G access points around a very long racetrack. And if we're in a chase vehicle, or we're doing, or there are cameras in the race car, or going with the bicycles, whatever kind of race it might be, we need to hand off from tower to tower, from access point to access point, like when you're making a phone call. You know, in the early days of cellular, when it didn't work very well, when you're in the car, if you went out of the range of one tower, the call would drop. Relatively seamlessly today, you can make a phone call continuously as your cell phone jumps from tower to tower to tower. So not all private 5G technologies is the same. There are some inferior systems out there that don't hand off very well. And we've seen some of that in action. So lower latency, you know, I mentioned, you know, single digits, less than 10 milliseconds. So, you know, under 20 milliseconds round trip, or 10 milliseconds each way, is more the norm. Bandwidth, you know, depending upon the setup, you know, we can get up to a gig data transfer up and down. So you can see how important this is for critical applications such as streaming, broadcast streaming, and media. Private 5G. So, you know, we're providing this solution for the enterprise, for the broadcaster, for media. It's perfect for cloud computing, AI powered automation. You know, anything where we don't want to have a physical connection to the vehicle, to the robot, to the camera, this is ideal. And with our micro slicing, we can customize the SLA, the quality of service, and we can use this as part of our network planning. And all of this enables seamless integration alongside existing wireless. As I mentioned, you know, the public 5G that's already, the public 5G is on different band. Public 5G does not use band 48. So it'll be operating in bands above and below it. The public 5G is on at 3.55 gigahertz. So the other public cellular will be operating on bands below and above that. So, and the Wi-Fi will be on the 5 gigahertz band. So all of this operates seamlessly together. You know, Vidovation, we're concentrating on the U.S. So this N48 or band 48, that's the frequency in the U.S., 3.55 megahertz. 3.55 gigahertz or 3550 megahertz. And around the world, there are a few countries that don't have a private 5G program or spectrum available, but most countries and the Vidovation solution or the Celona solution, if private 5G is available in your jurisdiction, Celona and Vidovation have a solution. So seamless integration globally. Customers, if you're a global conglomerate, you could have private 5G at all your facilities, all your manufacturing facilities around the world. We can centralize the management of those assets, so making the deployment easier for you. Key advantages, as I mentioned, you know, and from Vidovation's perspective, the lower latency, it makes it perfect for a supplement or a replacement for public cellular in our bonded cellular solution. So, you know, you're in a crowded ballpark and the public cellular is swamped out by fans. The bonded cellular systems attached to the broadcast cameras can jump on the public 5G and get connectivity that way. Connecting large spaces, you know, we're in discussions with broadcasters for the elections coming up, for the conventions, for inauguration day. You know, inauguration day, it's a large outdoor venue. Sports, as I mentioned, the NFL was the first to do intercoms or coaching comms over private 5G. The NHL, Grant Nodine from the NHL spoke on a couple of panels at NAB about private 5G and some of the work that they're doing at the NHL. So there's other projects Vidovation is working on, but we're under NDA that we can't quite discuss yet. But when the information becomes public, we will be more than happy to share it with you. So you can see here, you know, some of the workflows that we do with our bonded cellular and streaming capabilities, you know, multiple cameras, camera control, streaming, intercom, all of this is mission critical, and private 5G can play a critical role in increasing the reliability and lowering the latency. So here's a screen just showing, you know, snapshots. So, you know, my personal Verizon cell phone, if I crack it, it could be private 5G capable. My phone is locked. So that's an important distinction. You know, if you want to do comms or some sort of broadcast workflow on a mobile device, Vidovation can get you a unlocked tablet, phone, etc., with private 5G modems in it, or if it's a 5G certified device, more than likely it'll support band 48. But phones, ruggedized handhelds, tablets, PCs, you know, you've probably seen in the NFL, they use Microsoft Surface devices on the sidelines. Those are available with a 5G modem option in them. The NHL loves using Apple products, iPads, etc. There are 5G variants of the iPad with the 5G private 5G capable modem built in. And then there's adapters. You know, if you have a legacy device, USB or Ethernet adapters, there's radios available, push-to-talk radios that are private 5G enabled. And then there's gateway devices, you know, something like from Peplink, one of Vidovation's partners, we can provide you. Say your point of sale system does not support private 5G. We would put a little router access point by your point of sale cash register in your stadium to allow it to connect to the private 5G network. And you can see here far to the right, we have one of our HiVision Pro 460 5Gs. This is a flagship HiVision mobile transmitter encoder. Does four channels of HD, one channel of 4K. Four HDs, or I should use the word not and, or 4K. Doesn't do them simultaneously. You know, bunch of embedded audio, et cetera. And all the products, whether it's the smaller Air with two modems, the 360 single channel device, the 460 four channel device, if you buy the 5G version of it, it supports band 48, so it'll work great with CBRS or private 5G. So what's the outlook for the future? So for the next decade or two, there's going to be a coexistence of private 5G and Wi-Fi and public 5G. 3G was just sunsetted about a year ago, maybe less. So 4G is going to be around for at least another decade. 5G will be around probably for at least another two decades. So the public 5G spectrum is not going anywhere. Wi-Fi is not going anywhere. Wi-Fi now has been being expanded into the expanded from 5 gigahertz into the 6 gigahertz band to give it more room. So that will alleviate some of the Wi-Fi congestion. But private 5G will coexist with Wi-Fi and public 5G. And the growth prediction is that the private market, or the private 4G, 5G market, will grow up to $8 billion by year 2027. This is just a, you know, telecom industry analyst. They just peek into their crystal ball, but we would like to be part of that growth. So this helps, evolve your ecosystem. It helps to improve your wireless connectivity. You know, of course, we have traditional microwave systems, public bonded cellular streaming systems. Now we can bring into the mix private 5G. This is just another tool in our toolbox when it comes to broadcast media, news, and sports. So in conclusion, you know, what I hope this wasn't too much for you guys. I like doing these solo shows. You know, we don't have the Q&A like a normal webinar, but I wanted to get this information out to you guys. I had 20-minute slot at NAB to present, you know, 45 minutes worth of slides. So I'm hoping you found this of value today. So, you know, just to summarize, you know, this is meant for large open venues, large indoor venues, large outdoor venues, you know, where, you know, there's a lot of line of sight or near line of sight. That's the primary application. And the benefits are, you know, lower latency, lower cost, because we need far less access points. We can use our existing infrastructure from our Wi-Fi, so you don't need to add anything to that. We're going to get higher reliability, no interference. We can offer managed SLAs, service level agreements, and quality of service, and higher security. This can enhance experience for staff. You know, I'm a security guard. My comms will actually work. You know, it could be a safety issue if an officer is in trouble and they can't communicate with their colleagues. Comms can be important. Improves the visitor's experience. Private 5G can be used as a mesh network to connect Wi-Fi access points. So I forgot to mention that the two technologies can supplement each other and then improve vendors. You know, you got a beer concession vendor. You know, Aramark is selling beer at Angel Stadium, and the point of the point of sale credit card machine goes down because Wi-Fi went down or public 5G is swamped out. Can't sell any beer. Fans are going to be mad, and the vendor's going to be mad. They didn't make any money. So it's win-win all around. So Celona and Vitovation were already improving connectivity in manufacturing, healthcare, logistics, smart cities, and we're starting to roll this out in broadcast and media. So thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for tuning in today. If you have any questions, you may call me. Call me at 949-777-5435. You can email me at jimj@vidovation.com, or you can visit our website. Go to vidovation.com, and you can see my social media handles here. I'm very active on LinkedIn, or just drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. Oh, and one thing I forgot, this mysterious QR code in the corner. If you click on that, you can get a copy of this presentation, the paper that I wrote, as well as a copy of this recording. So click on that and enter your information, and we'll get you some collateral ASAP. Thank you so much, everyone, and have a great day. And oh, in the comments, please let me know, do you like this kind of solo show? I'd like to do more of these. Thank you so much. Have a great day.